The Holy Gospel according to John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the mourners who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. The people in the crowd began to remark, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept his man from dying?" Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." That man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord. Have you ever met people who have a quick answer when you suffer a loss? People who might say, "Oh, you get over it quickly," "Oh, cheer up," or "It was for the best of all." Or especially when we mourn loss of a child, "Now the good Lord has one more angel in paradise." And at CPE, which is Clinical Pastoral Education, I heard maybe the worst. "You may not understand it now, but God has a plan, or it's all God's plan." So if you only take away one thing of this sermon, please don't use this phrase. And I don't know how these words make you feel, but if you have a loss, or it makes me comfortable or made me comfortable when I experienced the loss of my mom when I was 11 years old, accident, or my youngest brother later on died in a lake, swimming lake, just before his 21st birthday. And don't get me wrong, I know these words are good, intentional, and maybe I used some of these, not it's all God's plan, but I used some of them before, if I'm shocked and not prepared for a sudden loss. So it's human and well in good intentions, but the message I get behind these attempts and we have is consolation. Everything has to make sense somehow, and come on, it's not bad, pull yourself together as quickly as possible. Yeah, maybe also we use or people say such words because they simply not know how to deal with someone else's grief or pain, especially if you're younger. And we probably also have to admit to ourselves that we don't actually want to deal with it. Because grief and pain scare us, we don't know what to say or how to act. Maybe pandemic, there was so much loss, we couldn't hide it anymore. It kind of shocked, panicked a lot of people. Nowadays, in the modern civilizations, we have the grief or old people dying separated in clean hospitals or hospice. So, of course, we want to pull ourselves together, have help, want to be friendly, and are not trained with this grieving. And there is a reason also in the modern civilization we have grieving experts. I mean, here, Pastor and me, or maybe some others, we are kind of gifted and trained. It's one of my reasons I want to be a deacon. I love chaplain work and kind of trained, and you get supervised and learn together and prepare things. But without professional grief support, it's hard to find in our Western capitalistic system. And we often don't know even ourselves, not even we can deal with others. We don't know ourselves how to control the loss or grief. The environment teaches us to be strong and under control. Smile even when it tears apart inside. So we have very complicated relationships to our feelings and emotions. Different ways, being stoic, hide them away, or complete meltdown, or whatever. We are humans, everyone has ways, or sometimes we kind of try to hide or don't even use emotional, just work. And you know, when I feel like crying, it's as a professional, don't do. But sometimes at deacon work, I can go to Graceland Cemetery, cry with people, or just keep company. You don't have to say a lot all the time. Silent prayer, it's called a ministry of presence. That's a second advice maybe you want to keep. And in these mornings, if we allow ourselves to show the pain, use the pain, even we are scared to show it in the public or in our job settings, we have parks, we have outside, we have friends, and all these pain, maybe there was a traditional thing by wearing black outside if you have a loss, so people know from the outside, okay, there is, be careful with me, I experienced a loss recently. I think we kind of run out of these traditions. I kind of reminded with preparing with this sermon, maybe it's not that bad of a tradition. So loss, grief, death, what has become of them in our time and society? We hide it, we try to deny it. We don't allow to really affect us. But think about it, if we hide it and complete oppress, it will come back earlier, sooner at one point. And usually if it comes back then with a retribution, with a can be harder or unexpected or can go on our body, show some signs of sickness. And even we as Christians should say, oh, we also try to run the system. So I would not say it's others, it happens. And we don't give the grief every time the space it should need. Being a little too quick to point in the resurrection circle, we have the Good Friday, and there would be no the power of resurrection if we don't pay time and attention to the Good Friday and the suffering. Yeah, and Christ became overcome and overcame death and the suffering, and death has lost its sting, but still death is the reality for our human world, and our redemptive and liberating power of the Easter morning can only happen with this death and suffering, even it's sorrowful. In all of this, death is not the will or plan of God. Jesus becomes very sorrowful and he faints in his body when he hears of the death of his friend Lazarus in the gospel today. A better translation or approach might be that Jesus is upset and frustrated as he experiences firsthand the power of death. His disciples, they're there, but his friend, Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, is passed away, not prepared. So even Jesus experiences this loss, prepared on his own suffering loss, but this is not expected. So Jesus is now our human counterpart for suffering, for mourning, and grieving. Jesus does not speak easy words, oh, come on, Mary, Martha, it's okay, just keep your head up. Or Jesus mourns with them, and Jesus is crying with them. This is one of Jesus' most human moments, in my opinion. He shares with us this experience, a true fellow human being. Jesus is vulnerable, shows his despair, and he reveals that as a human being, he also has his weaknesses and is not ashamed of them in public and a crowd of most of them strangers to him. Maybe you have heard the expression WWJD. I forgot my bracelet, and anyone remembers any of this time? So in this case, we have an explanation what Jesus would do, and I guess we have the explanation what he would not do. So what do we think Jesus would do in our world today with all the critical situations worldwide, not only our personal sufferings, but war, flooding, nature disasters, or our election is coming up, so critical political situations. I think he sometimes still weeps with us, for us, and mourns with us in our presence. And also points out the All Saints community, which is not the original one. We just have the saints, one pope fits out. I want to point out one All Saints for me as a Lutheran. It's a saint for us all our people we lost, if we knew them or not. It's not only the disciples or some popes or some martyrs, it's all people of us, friends, family. We know them, we remember them. We keep them in our community of saints. That's our Lutheran approach, and have candles and bells for them in our mind, in our spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit. So now I have the Jesus part as a human part, and the Holy Spirit and the community of saints we have in the Greek in our third part. Now let me end with God, because in the reading from the prophets, Old Hebrew Testament, up to the end Revelation, we have apocalyptic, but in Revelation we even have the great idea in the readings to kind of God with his motherly care weeps away our tears. He dries them, and as we heard in the reading, we can now be sure after this gospel today, God weeps with us. God knows how much a loss hurts us, and God shares in our suffering. We come with our tears, we come to him with what hurts us, what is worthy and right. We do not have to hide our feelings from God, who knows what it means to weep and mourn. And God, like a mother, he holds us in his arms, wipes away our tears with gentle hand. This is a God who wants to be close to us, who touches us, and who shares in our suffering. And this is the same God who promises us, I am with you always. Death and mourning and weeping will be no more. Trust me. I share in your suffering. I have even gone through death myself. Come, walk with me into a new life, for behold, I make all things new. Amen.